Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J-Bond. With me as always,
it's your boy Mike, yo.
And we are back. Well, I am back. You never really left.
I never really left.
Yeah. So PAX Prime, last weekend, I was there. I played some games of the video variety. And I saw a lot of stuff, dude. So
sounds like it.
Yeah, so took a lot. I don't know. It was the first. So this is like my first solo, you know, thing, right? So I like, because I, you know, every other time I went to PAX, I was with Radio PlayStation, those guys, RadioPlayStation.com, edits Radio PS on Twitter. So like, we like scheduling appointments was like kind of group based, you know, and we kind of picked and choosed what games we wanted to play. So this time it was just like I could just do whatever, you know, and it didn't have to be PlayStation only.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that totally meant that there was like 8,000 fucking choices, which is
a variety of choices to play.
Yeah, so I just scheduled everything. Like, I just, any email I got from the media thing, I was just like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll go check this out. I don't know what it is, but it looks cool.
Right.
It sounds cool. So I had, like, the first 3 days, pretty much, I had stuff scheduled. So, Monday, which was the day that my panel was, I kind of left that purposefully open-ended so that I could just do whatever. And, yeah, so I have my schedule, and so I basically I'll just chat about stuff as I played it,
right? And, well, at least the stuff that you can talk about.
Yeah, there's there's only like two things I can't, so that's cool. Okay. Yeah, nice. So I got in Thursday morning, because I'm not stupid and I don't fucking do layover flights. Like, I get it, you save a little bit of money, but you waste so much time. So I ended up in Seattle like super early, picked up my badges, hung out. I met up with Heather at Maverick Gamers. Later in the afternoon, we went to, Microsoft, got to go to Microsoft's campus. And so I guess this is the second year they've done this, but it's like the ID at Xbox pre-PAX event. And there's a post on the website, thedgcast.com, if you'd like to see. And basically what it was is you go to Microsoft, you go into this one building, and they had a obnoxiously large line of people waiting to play Halo 5 Guardians, because they had like War Arena mode or something. It's just a new multiplayer mode that hasn't been demoed yet, so people wanted to play that. And then there were in that room, and then there was, I think, one or two additional rooms. They just had a bazillion indie game stations set up. So all these different devs got to set up their games. So like the guys who made Ark were there. We Happy Few by Compulsion was there. They did Contrasts on the PS4 and various other systems. So they had that going. And as far as I could tell, it was running on an Xbox One. It looked like everything was running on an Xbox One. The speedrunner guys were there with their speedrunning games. There was so many other games that, like, at this point, like, it's, you're just overwhelmed by taking in all the games and you can't remember anything. I bumped into Mobeen, who made We Are Doomed. Like, I was talking with Heather and somebody else, and like, he walked by and I was like, I know you. And he was like, hey, I know you too. And so, that was cool. Got to talk with him for a little bit. We Are Doomed's on PS4. It's on Steam. It's a twin stick, shooter.
Sure.
You know, wave based. Pretty sweet.
Sounds good to me.
So that was cool. The ID at Xbox event was very cool. And it's free to the public. So even if you didn't have a badge to PAX, you can still go.
That's cool.
You know, it must be because there's a ton of people who just live in the area that want to go see stuff. Or they know that for people who are maybe flying in and probably going to try and scalp tickets maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or who just kind of come to hang out and go to all the different free events. It was pretty good. I mean, it was for like 4 hours. And just a ton of games. They had a section of like some team members from 343 Studios signing Halo 5 posters, which was cool, and we were in line for that, but then they, like, came down and were like, listen, we only have enough posters for, like, these people, and we were, like, two behind that line, and I was like, oh, fuck me. So we just left. Went and played more games and then kind of walked. But, yeah, that was really cool. It's really cool that it's free. You know, plus you get to go, you're in one of the Microsoft buildings.
Oh, wow.
I think it's definitely more like one of their, we didn't get to like walk around everywhere, but it definitely feels like it's more of a PRE type building. Cause it seemed like everything was open spaces, meeting room type things.
Right. Yeah.
Either way, it was cool to just drive through the Microsoft campus cause there's a million buildings.
Oh, wow.
And then, so that was that. That was the ID at Xbox event. If you happen to be going to PAX Prime in the future, I would definitely make a point to get in early and go, you know, get in on Thursday and go to the event. It was like 4:30 or to 9 or whatever. And they have buses that shuttle you from the expo hall to Microsoft and back. So because it's in Bellevue, which is kind of far out from where Seattle is, it's probably like a half hour by car. But, like, they have free buses to shuttle you back and forth, which is pretty awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, it's definitely going to be on my list every year. Probably just going to go to that, right? You know, for sure.
I'm trying to aim to go next year, then.
Yeah. So, then, second thing up on my list was at the, which was, you know, Friday morning, was at the Razer booth. And so, I got to check out all the, like, sweet Razer gear. So they have a new controller that's kind of like an Xbox controller. They're bringing back the Diamondback mouse, which is totally sweet. But that Black Mamba, the mouse that they have with, like, all the color. I mean, the Diamondback has it too, but the, like, color hue thing that, like, wraps around the, like, the body of the mouse. Dude, it's really sweet. And I totally get why people love those keyboards. Their mechanical keyboards are fantastic. I think it's the Black Widow. Is like the one that has like the full chroma on the keyboard.
Chroma, yeah.
Dude is sweet. It's really nice. Not a big fan of the like chiclet, like which like the MacBook has, like the chiclet type keys. Not a big fan.
Oh,
of
yeah, the weird like. Yeah.
And they have another like wired keyboard mouse that was like that, and I played for a little bit on that, but I don't know. I need a mechanical keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the Razer Blade laptops.
Yep.
Pretty wild, pretty great.
Nice.
I don't like that they have like no ports on the side of them, but I get that that's like the fucking thing. It's really annoying. Like,
to just not
like all you have is like your power, your two USBs and a headphone jack,
right? Yeah,
and like HDMI out. Like, I really don't like. I don't like that it doesn't even have like an Ethernet cord if I wanted to, plug in wired. Which like Cody's laptop, she doesn't have an Ethernet cord. They had to go. When she was up at CJ's, they had to buy a fucking USB Ethernet adapter.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. I don't like that. Because my problem is, the less things you put into the laptop, the more shit I inevitably have to carry with me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, while I get that the laptop itself is an absolute beast. It is. It's an absolute beast. It's thin. It's light. It's sharp.
Nice.
But, like, just... Yeah, give me a couple extra USBs, maybe throw an SD card reader in there. Like, that's one thing in my MacBook that I do really enjoy, that it has an SD card slot right into it. So I just pop the SD card in for my camera and then go to town. So that was the Razer booth. Pretty sweet. Then I went and played Riptide GP Renegade, which, did you ever play Hydro Thunder?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's Hydro Thunder for Xbox One and PS4. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it would have... No, Hydro Thunder would have been like the N64, PS1.
Yeah,
Hydro Thunder Hurricane was the Xbox Live, which was like 2010, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, it's that. It's fucking sweet.
That's sweet.
It's 60 frames a second. It looks really good. It's... what's cool though is on Xbox One it'll have 6-player split screen.
What?
Yeah, because I mean, and the guy even said, he's like, TVs these days are huge. He's like, so you can fit. He's like, you have enough real estate for 6. He's like, and the Xbox One allows us to do it, so might as well. The PS4 does not. He's like, so it's just 4-player split screen on PS4. He's like, but still, he's like, it's pretty cool. He's like, obviously, if you have a small TV, you know, he's yeah, like, but he's like, but you know, we're doing it on like, you know, 40-ish range TVs, and he's like, and it's not bad. You know, nobody really has any problems with it. But yeah, it's funny. Every time I'm like Riptide GP, and everyone's like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Do you ever play Hydro Thunder?" Yes, it's Hydro Thunder.
It's like, really, yeah, it's basically just that.
Nice. Yeah, because the Vector unit is the team that's suing Riptide Renegade, and they did Riptide GP, Riptide GP 2, and then they did Hydro Thunder Hurricane. So I don't believe. I think Midway had done the original Hydro Thunder.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm. Yep. I think I got the 64, whatever, like you said.
Yeah. So that was that. Totally nuts. I'm excited for that. I think that's going to be... I think that's definitely an Xbox game for me. I think I'm going to get that on
Xbox.
Yeah,
stuff like that makes me wish an Xbox.
Yeah. Because like, I don't think I'm going to often be playing with six people, but...
Right,
I think I want it on Xbox. Who knows? Maybe I'll end up with it on both.
Oh, it's coming out for both? I thought it was just Xbox.
Oh, no. It is. It's coming out for both. It's coming out for Xbox One, Windows 10, and PS4. The one thing, here's a thing that totally kind of, it kind of made no sense to me until, like, I was talking with, like, different devs about it. So when a game says that it's Xbox One and Windows 10, it's only Windows 10. It won't play on 8.1 or 7.
Oh,
totally blew my mind. I just assumed they were saying that because why would they say it's on Windows 8? No, when a game says it's for Windows 10, it's generally only plays
on... optimized for 10?
Yep.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. Well, it's nice to know that you know, it's not false advertising. It's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I just assumed that if it meant Windows 10, it was on PC, right?
Right, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's not, and Windows 10, if it says Windows 10 and it doesn't say Steam, that means it's through the Xbox store on your PC, which maybe that's common knowledge to everybody else, but I totally wasn't thinking that. I was totally
right,
just thinking,
if this is PC, then cool, you can get it on Steam.
Yeah, my assumption generally is that if it says it's PC, it's probably Steam, so it's not, And one dev, who shall remain nameless, said, they're like, you can make an assumption that means that Microsoft is providing some incentive for us to develop it only for Xbox One and Windows 10. So, you know, when you see that, assume that means that Microsoft is helping them, and there's a reason why they're not going to develop it on something else. He was like, that said, it's not like we're changing the game in any way, shape, or form. He's like, but who's going to turn, you know, what indie developer is going to turn down money?
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, exactly. You know, not Riptide because they are building it across platforms and they're doing it on PS4 too. But it was just that conversation had come up because I was like, Windows 10, cool. So it'll be Steam. And he was like, no, it's Windows 10 Xbox Store. No big deal there. That's is what it is. So, right. Yeah, so the new Hydro Thunder called Riptide GP Renegade. It's sweet.
Nice.
I'm excited. Then I had my first experience with Oculus.
Ah, how'd that go?
Played a game called Pollen. I got about 10 minutes into it, and I had to take the things off. I had to take the goggles off. Starting to get a weird headache, man. Not feeling
that's what I figured that's how it would be. Like, for the first few minutes, it's like, okay, this is cool. But then over time, you start to get either a headache or... You know?
Yeah, I mean you're in a space station and it's essentially a walking simulator, right? But it's a walking simulator in VR where you can literally interact with every single object in the game that is not a physical like wall or something. So like there's a basketball and a basketball hoop, you can play basketball in VR. There's darts and a dartboard, you can play VR. There's weights, you can pick up the weights, you can throw the weights, you can, you know,
wow,
pick up a can of soda and shake the shit out of it. I couldn't open it, which is kind of frustrating. I couldn't figure out how to open the can. But, you know, you can pick up coins off a table and put it in the soda machine and buy a soda.
So basically you literally do the motion? Like,
So you have the goggles on and then you have a Xbox One controller.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You have to look directly at items to be able to interact with them with the controller. It is also non-Oculus, so there's just a regular straight PC version where you just use like keyboard and mouse. So you're on a space station, you're the only one there, and you got to figure out what happened. You got to figure out where everybody is. Mm-hmm. And so every single thing in the world is interactable. So there's like 50 books on a bookshelf, and the kid in front of me literally picked every single book up and like flipped them around to like read the covers, and they're all different. So for that part, it's kind of neat. It kind of shows what the VR can do in terms of like environmental interaction.
Right. Yeah.
Plus, there is a story. There's like audio tapes you can find and things like that. But like he probably played for like 15, 20 minutes. And like I said, I got like 10 minutes in before I was like, I got to take these things off before I like puke. And it definitely had to do with when I looked down at objects. Like if I drop, when you drop something in the game, you have to look down to pick it up. And when I looked down was when it started to get really, when it was worse. And the devs are super cool. They said it totally happens, especially if it's your first time. They said the more you use it, the more you get used to it. But they also said that whichever version of Oculus I was using was one of the, like pre-gen Oculus ones, and they said the new version is much better. And they also said try the HTC Vive, which is HTC's version. They said that is significantly better for people who have like motion sickness issues with it, which is weird because I don't get motion sick. Like I can go on a boat, I don't need Dramamine, I don't like to fly, but it's not like flying bothers me in a way that like makes me like nauseous. But like I can't play like video games in the car as long as I don't look down. So it's got to be something with being in motion and like looking down that just tends to not
that well.
Yeah. So anyways, it's cool. I mean, if you're into things like, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, it's probably going to be your jam. I may still check it out only because there's so much stuff to interact with. I kind of want to know what's going on. It was kind of like a it didn't give me the kind of eerie, creepy sense, but it was definitely like a first person what was that game? Curve did it. Curve Digital made it. It was free on PS Plus. You're the astronaut.
Oh yeah, yeah. What's it called?
Yeah, I know, right?
Dang it. We'll come back to that later.
I'm just going to Google it because it's going to grind my gears until I think of it. Curve Digital Space Game. Curve Digital. And it's called something like the whatever.
Yeah, because I remember I bought it.
I have it too.
I bought it for that the deal thing or whatever. That and the game sounded cool.
Nope, it's not Lone Survivor. It's not Proteus. It's you motherfuckers. What is the game called? This is gonna like seriously. I apologize to everybody who's like listening to the podcast, but I have to. I'm not gonna let this go. I have to know.
No, yeah, I'm the same way. Oh, here, I have it in my library. I should have it in my library because I know exactly what you're talking about. I just can't think of the name.
The Swapper.
There you go. Yeah.
The Swapper. That game. It's like a first person The Swapper, but it hadn't got creepy yet, so maybe it doesn't get creepy, but yeah. So if that type of space exploration walking simulator kind of thing, that's what it is. So there you go. So that's that. Next up, one of my favorite games of PAX. It's called Viking Squad.
Oh.
It's pretty sweet. So that is by Slick Entertainment Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Slick Ent Inc. on Twitter. And it's sweet. It's a lane-based brawler. So think like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game, but like with three players instead of four. And you just, you're Vikings and you just go and kill shit.
Down.
Yep. So it's we played it at PAX East earlier this year, played it again this past weekend a lot. I probably played like four or five times.
Was there a change that
games waste, it's way more stable. They changed some of the animations, the controls are tighter, the frame rate's way more stable, to the point where I never saw it break at all.
Wow. Nice.
And it's really fun, There's, like, the upgrade system seemed like it was changed a little bit. There were new enemies that weren't in the previous version. You know, we played, you know, there's mini bosses and then mega bosses. So it's cool. And so, yeah, so right now, three players, that's all it's ever going to be. It's only going to be three. And it's three because there's only three of them, or there were only three of them on the dev team, so they could never test with more than three people. Which is always, it's kind of amusing when you think about that.
That's actually kind of, that's actually almost kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not like, you know, they didn't want to make it four player, but it's like, it would have been weird to.
The limitations of testing a game and building a game with four people when there's only three people working on the game to test and everything like that. Yeah, for sure. So it's cool. They're working on some more stuff, and they're going to do their best to add in a multiplayer facet. Yes. And then that way you can, you know, play online with your friends. So
cool. Like co-op multiplayer?
Co-op.
Or...
Yeah. Okay, co-op. Because right now, as it stands, it's just the three couch co-op. They want to put it in. It's just, it is, he was like, it's not easy to program a multiplayer thing. He's like, we've done it before, but... not easy. So
it's not as simple as everyone thinks it would be.
Yeah, and then so that was a discussion that came up a couple times amongst indie devs who have like PS4 and PC games, how Psyonix made it crossplay, you know, and you can like opt in. So I was like, all right, listen, like, you send an email to Psyonix, I'm gonna send an email to Psyonix, I'm gonna get everybody I know to send an email to Psyonix and figure out a way for them to let everybody else know how they did it. Because I just think that this is like my mini spiel. It's not a, there's no competition. The games are all uniquely different in just way different. It's not like, Viking Squad is going to compete with Rocket League, right? They're two totally different games.
Yeah.
But there's no reason that Psyonix should not help everybody out and provide some form of a baseline on how to make the PC, PS4 crossplay work. Because one, it only serves to make the game matchmaking work better, because now you, instead of having two separate groups, and I'm going to just go ahead and say that the PC group will probably be bigger in always.
Right.
It'll make it so that the PC players have more people to play with, and the PS4 people have a way better chance of getting matchmaking for games.
Exactly.
So that's my thing. If you're listening to this podcast and you want that to happen too, send an email to Psyonix and be like, hey, you should really like help all the other indie devs out and make this PS4 PC crossplay thing, you know, a thing. You know, and I'm willing to put a few bucks in Psyonix pockets to help other indie devs have a shot at this. Like, if they really want to say, we'll do it if you like pay for like info or whatever, I'm willing to put a few bucks down, because I think it's a worthwhile investment.
Worth it.
I mean, Viking Squad, I've talked about it before, it's tons of fun, it's awesome, it's a great game. You know, the guys are really good, and every Wednesday, I think it's Wednesday, Jesse does a game dev stream, so he streams for like an hour or two. And he
just kind of showing off the game. And...
he shows off his, you know, making the art for the game, making characters for the game. He'll make little assets and then throw them into the build, so you can actually see them in progress, like what he's working on, and see different enemies and stuff like that. So that's really cool. So feel free to give them a follow. I believe it's just twitch.tv/slickentertainment. But if you just follow their Twitter, you'll have a better chance of finding all the links and the timing, because they usually tweet about it, but I'm pretty sure it's always Wednesdays. I just, time wise, I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
So
check them out then.
Yeah. So Viking Squad, thumbs up, two thumbs up.
Nice.
So that was cool. And plus, I mean, it's fun hanging out with them too, because they're really cool guys, and the game's really cool. And I mean, their booth every single time I went by. Was swamped.
Usually swamped.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, they had three stations going, and they even said, they're like, we're so glad we had three stations instead of just one. Because at PAX East, they had just one big station. And so at Prime, they had three stations going. So nine people could play at once, because it's, you know, max three people per station. So
that works.
Yeah. And we were playing in that case, we were playing on PS4s. We were playing on PS4 test kits. So
nice.
Cool. Next up was the Repopulation, which it's an MMORPG. It is sandbox based. It's sci-fi. It's futury. I don't know enough about MMORPGs like to really get it, but think Final Fantasy, like the Final Fantasy games, but think like a shooter that's sci-fi based. And it's not, so here's the, and this is one of the things that like they kind of had to explain to me because I'm a dummy when it comes to this stuff. It's not instance based. It's one persistent world. So basically everybody who's playing in the game is playing in the same game as everyone
same
else
game,
who's
yeah.
playing in the game.
It's not like so a different server type thing.
Right. So if there's 100,000 people in the game, there's 100,000 people in your game, you know? And so there are different territories within the world where, like, you can be safe, you know, where you're, like, protected. But then there's, like, the contested lands in the middle where generally missions and stuff happen. And, you know, that's where you can get fucking wrecked. That's where your shit can totally get destroyed. However, you can, you know, side with, I guess you pick a faction at the beginning. And then, like, those are areas where you can... You know, where you're basically, you're safe. It's neutral.
Right.
Combat neutral.
Jeez.
You can build your own house. You can build your own stuff and have your literal own plot of land in the game. Because, again, it's persistent, right? So it's not like you have multiple places where, like, everything. You literally can build a house in that, and it's there forever in the game, right? Until, like, I mean, unless somebody goes and destroys it. But, so that was cool, and we're talking about the community in the game, and they were saying like the community is super cool. So like if this is a game you're interested in checking out, you know, you can totally just jump in and be like, hey, I'm a total noob, I don't know what I'm doing, and you know, there's people who are gonna help you, and the people who are complete dickbags generally get filtered out, like because nobody allows them to exist.
I like that.
Yeah, and I guess I was, they were telling me a story about how, like, this one kid was being a complete D-bag to somebody in the game because they thought they were, like, a noob or something, and it turns out they were, like, the commander of, like, an entire faction in-game, and so they just took their faction and totally wrecked that kid's day and just, like, destroyed all the stuff.
Good.
Yeah, so... If you're into MMORPGs, it's called The Repopulation. No, it's not a sex game. Like, because one kid, we were literally sitting there playing, and this kid was like, oh, it's a sex game. And she looked at me, and she was like, not the first time I've heard that joke, and not the last. Like, the whole reason for the name, The Repopulation, is that everybody's just, you just get cloned. So it's actually, in some cases, like, if you break your leg, it's easier to just fucking kill you and reclone you rather than, like, attempt to fix your leg.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you're just being cloned constantly in the game when you die. But the whole kind of concept is that it's, in some cases, it's easier to just kill yourself and let yourself be recloned than actually, like, try to resolve issues in the game, I guess.
Hmm.
So that's pretty cool. I had fun playing that.
Sounds awesome.
My problem with MMORPGs is that I always feel like it takes me forever to get anywhere, generally because I don't know what I'm doing. So, like, PlanetSide 2, same deal. Fucking, you, like, walk for, like, 10 minutes and then just get killed in 2 seconds, and you're like, well, shit.
Yeah, basically.
So that was that. And so that was... pretty much that was day one, and that was like day zero, Thursday, and then Friday, day one. That was like, so I, there was a lot of stuff for day one. Day two had a bunch of stuff going on. So I played the new Warhammer game.
It's like Warhammer, and then I realized, oh, like the board game, whatever.
No, it's not a board game. It's first person.
I thought there was a, like, there is a board game for Warhammer or something like that.
Oh, I think there is as well.
I know there's console games, but
right. This is Warhammer: The End Times Vermintide, and so it is co-op, 4-player co-op, with like jump in, jump out. So like if you want to just play yourself, whatever. And so it's set in the end times of the Warhammer Fantasy universe. It's coming out, according to Steam, it says Q3 2015, which is, like, soon. And it's pretty sweet. It's pretty dark, and it looked amazing. So this one I played at the Alienware booth, so it was running in Alienware machines. And what was cool was, so I played it on a 15-inch Alienware that had the graphics amplifier thing attached to it, which is basically just a desktop video card, but it's external from the laptop, and so you can plug it in. It's all proprietary to Alienware, right? So you've got, like, your Alienware laptop with, like, whatever graphics card that's in it, and then you literally can plug this thing into your computer when you're home, and now it has a full-size desktop graphics card. So basically, you know, when you're on the go, you might play stuff on low settings, or probably not, because those things are beast anyways. And then when you get home, you reboot with the amplifier, and then you can play anything basically in the world. So I played it on one of those. I played it on a 15 with the amplifier, and it was flawless. Like, it's kind of dark and gritty, and it's very old. It's like, I don't know how to say, like, old-timey, but it's very, like,
old school.
Everything is built with stones, and it's very old. It's just, you know, it's not ancient, but it's old. I don't know how to fucking describe it, but
like a medieval type.
Medieval, yes, thank you. That's probably a better descriptor. So, like, you have, like, battle axes, but you've got, like, kind of not new. You know, you don't have, like, I had a rifle, but it was, like, more like a musket type rifle, you know. But it's not. But, like, one of the enemies, which is, like, a giant rat, had, like, a chain gun thing, and it fires, like,
what the hell?
Yeah, fires, like, green bullets, which doesn't mean anything. But so there's, like, you know, it's just rats. You're killing a lot of rats. But so I'm reading this from the Steam description, and so here we go. Vermintide takes place in and around Uberstreich, a city overrun by Skaven. You will assume the role of one of five heroes, each featuring different playstyles, abilities, gear, and personality. Working cooperatively, you must use their individual attributes to survive an apocalyptic invasion from the hordes of relentless ratmen known as the Skaven. Battles take place across a range of environments, stretching from the top of Magnus Tower to the bowels of the Under Empire. So it's co-op with up to four players, but there's five characters you can choose from. The guy that I played as had a sweet axe, and then he also had a single fire rifle, and he had some other stuff too. He had a sweet shield. So there's, like, a lot of elements of, like, blocking with shield combat and, like, pushing them away with the shield to attack enemies, because you can get overwhelmed pretty easily, or at least I did. Traverse different obstacles. Like, it's not like you can't climb stuff, but so can the enemies, so, like, you can't really hide. Kind of sucked. But I mean, it looked amazing. Like, so you're, like, the demo that you're playing, it's kind of nighttimey. And so you've got this blade, and, like, as you turn just slightly, like, the reflection of the, like, moon off the blade was nuts. I mean, it was so ridiculous. Like, I kept talking to the guy who was showing me the game, and I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, it looks too good. And he was getting a kick out of it. I don't have a great PC. I just have, you know, the base alpha. I was like, and then a MacBook. I was like, I have PS4, Xbox One, and all that stuff. I'm like, but this game looks super, like, super, super good. And
nice.
So that part was cool. We were talking about that. And then, so I played it on the 15 with the amplifier, and then I went to the 13-inch Alienware with no graphics amplifier, and, like, I personally could not tell the difference between the two. Now, I know there had to have been a difference, given that one was running off the amplifier and the other was not, but, I mean, obviously the 13-inch Alienware with no graphics amplifier is a hell of a machine, too.
Damn.
So, and the Alienware 13, because I have no money, so I really can't buy a new laptop. It's only like $1,000 for the 13-inch Alienware with an i5 and a sweet graphics card, and, you know, it doesn't have an optical drive, so there's no disk drive, which kind of sucks.
You get to buy a
External.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the machine's pretty sweet. And it only weighs like 4.5 pounds.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty light. But even like my problem was even if I really don't want to, but if I get another MacBook, there's no optical drives on the new MacBooks now anyways. They're all Retinas, which sucks.
It's just weird.
Some is people it, still
is,
like
is that
CDs,
a money
man.
Saving thing or
I imagine money saving makes it thinner. You know, it occupies a bunch it occupies all that space for the disk drive.
Yeah.
You know, so they could put a also, thinner, you know, they could put a battery in or another hard, like on the MacBook I have, right? I could take my CD-ROM drive out and put in another hard drive.
Hard drive.
But like I prefer to have the CD-ROM drive because some of us still drive cars with CD players and no iPod adapters.
It's true. I use the tape deck thing.
Yeah. I don't have a tape deck. I would use the tape deck thing if I had one. Like the tall hoe does not have one. It just has a CD player. So like my brother uses an FM thing. I just mm-hmm. don't. I just use CDs when I drive it.
Yeah, it's easier to use CDs.
Yeah. The truck that I drive most of the time, I put in, a headphone adapter thing. Like, but there was like an adapter kit that you could plug into the back of the stereo, and then it gives you the like headphone jack thing that you just plug into your phone or your iPod or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I put that in one of the cars. Yes. And that was that, so that I could have music. But, anyways, so Warhammer looks really good. While visually, it's medieval and rats and things like that. Like it totally still feels like the Warhammer universe, right? Because like the most of the Warhammer games I ever played were all futuristic robots and stuff. Definitely still feels.
This one still fits right in.
Yeah, it still felt like Warhammer to me.
Nice. That's
so
good.
That part was cool. So that was Warhammer. And then at the Alienware booth, I also checked out Rocket, the computer gaming parts company. They make like keyboards, mice, accessories, all that stuff. And they have a new mouse for... which is what all the machines at the Alienware booth had anyways. They have this new mouse for like, it's a gaming mouse, really high DPI. It's got a lot of, cool features and stuff, but where your thumb would rest, you know, on like the side of the mouse, it's got like 12 buttons, right? Numbered 1 through 12, but you can actually customize it. And so instead of it being 12 buttons, it can be like 6 bigger buttons, or it can be 3 bigger buttons, 'cause it's 3 rows, or it can be like 2 buttons on the top and then 1 big button on the bottom, and you can customize them to whatever you want, right?
Oh, wow.
So like if you were playing a MOBA or an MMO or whatever, and you need to like customize your attacks or your spells or
whatever. For macros, basically.
Exactly, right? So you customize that shit. And so I was like, that's really cool. Can you like, could you customize it for something outside of gaming, or like do you have to map this as you go? And so turns out no, they have special software with it. You can map it to whatever the hell you want. And the mouse is cool enough to know that it knows which games you go into. So you just have to set it once. And then when you go into that game, unless you have to literally change the way, like the size of the buttons you have, because it comes with this little cool case to hold all the different button combos. So I was like, wait a minute, are you saying I could use this in like Illustrator or like Photoshop? And so we ended up talking, and so it turns out, yeah, you can. So I'm probably going to end up with one of these mice to use at work, so that when I'm doing like design stuff, I can map the buttons on the side of the mouse to like the pen tool or the crop tool or, you know, clone tool or the brush or eraser or whatever.
Nice.
And make my life
so much easier.
Yeah. Instead of having to click back or like memorize keyboard commands, which I still at this point don't remember.
So cool.
Yeah.
Like
and it's really cool that it like knows which, like game you're in. So you literally only have to program once. 'Cause I'm like, oh man, if I use this in Counter-Strike, I could use like 2 buttons for the buy menu. 'Cause I only play much only play with like, you know, the MP5 and a grenade in Counter-Strike. But so that was cool. So that's a like that was a really cool gaming mouse. And I seen another one that's like literally like a palm pad for your left hand, and it's just a buttons. Oh. Like it's not an actual mouse; it's just like a separate keypad for like
yeah.
And I'm just like meh. I'd rather like having it on the mouse is like 1,000 times
easier.
More,
yeah,
yeah, more convenient.
Just click.
And then you never have to take your hand off the mouse or off the keyboard for basically any reason. So
exactly.
So if you're looking for a gaming mouse, that is one hell of a mouse.
Yeah.
Say. Next thing on the list was the Kind of Funny panel.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So I wrote this in terms of what I saw, but I like time-wise, I don't think everything is lining up quite per day. Anyways, but so, yeah, at the end of Friday, I think it was Friday, was the Kind of Funny panel. And it was original. Like, so the panel was called, like, How to Make a Living with Your Best Friends on YouTube or something. And then it like gradually ended up as like the Kind of Funny annual symposium, something, something, something. And so this is probably the funniest thing. And I'm sure it'll end up on Patreon for the Kind of Funny subscribers, or maybe they'll put it on YouTube at some point. There was a part when they were talking about how Colin licked Greg's forehead on Twitch. And it was like Nick had never, Nick had never had his forehead licked by Colin. So then all of a sudden everyone's just like, lick it, lick it, like a whole crowd of people. And so he licks his forehead, right? And then Greg just goes, suck that dick, suck.
Oh god.
So everybody's chanting that, and then immediately he's like, oh my god, sir, I apologize to you and your young son. You should have left 15 minutes ago. And everybody turns around, and there's this guy in the background, in the back of the room, like walking out with his like 10-year-old son. And it's probably because his son was like, Dad, I want to go see the Kind of Funny guys. And the father probably had no fucking clue what he was getting himself into. There was another guy who was with his son, his young son, but it was because he liked Kind of Funny, and he was just bringing his kid along because he probably can't just like leave his kid alone. It's out there, bad parenting. But when he was in line to like ask questions or something, he had his fingers in the kid, blocking the kid's ears, so he couldn't so he couldn't hear some of the shit they were saying.
That's awesome.
So that was, you know, that was cool. And, you know, I went, and that was when I got the picture with Greg and Nick.
Nice.
Took a selfie with Greg, took a selfie with Nick. I didn't get a selfie with Colin, but I ended up getting to talk to Colin for like 20 minutes about politics and stuff, which was totally fucking rad. So Colin, not that I doubt you're listening, but seriously, you're the fucking man.
Nice.
I think I like you more than Greg. And Greg, I know that might hurt to hear, but the heart wants what the heart wants. So that was the Kind of Funny panel. They did the next day they did a meet and greet, or I think everyone's calling them a meet and Greg now.
Meet and Greg.
Yeah, a meet and Greg. They did one at like from like 4 to 6 or something at like a bar nearby. And again, same deal. That was like if you don't have a PAX badge, you can still come. And that was the cool part too, because there were a lot of events outside of PAX that were like non-badge related. So there's a place, the Seattle Indies Expo, which is 6, right? So they did 6 at 6, and it was like Seattle Indies had a little event thing at 6 o'clock, one of the days, and it was like a couple blocks away from the expo hall, and they'd like rented out like a restaurant or something, and they all got to like set up their games, and people could go in and play their games for free.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That was really cool. I didn't get to go to that one because it was too. It was, the problem for me was because I scheduled so many things, and they were all in
that time frame.
Yeah, I didn't have like there would have been no way for me to make it to that and make it home, you know, or make it back to the expo hall.
Make it back to the expo hall.
So I definitely for next year learned that I need to. Maybe not book as much stuff, and while that means I might not get to see as much stuff, guaranteed, it might make it so that I have more opportunities to go do some stuff outside of the expo hall. So that will be one of the things that I do. And so we're already at like the 45 minute ish mark, depending on when I have to, I might have to just edit a little bit of this. We'll break here. I'll do some shout outs and then we'll come back for part two.
Come back.
Cool. And just make it easy for that. So, my first shout out is to ID at Xbox. Xbox is indie team. They're really awesome. And I believe their Twitter is just it's at ID_Xbox. Nice. Which is because it's so weird too, because it's ID at Xbox, but like I always try to type that and it doesn't show up in Twitter. I always have to just do at Xbox. But tweet out to at Razer. They have sweet, sweet, sweet computers, sweet keyboards. Vector Unit. At Vector Unit, they are the ones making Riptide GP Renegade. Viking Squad at Slick Ent Inc. Slick Enterprises Inc. Incorporated.
Inc.
Definitely worth checking out. And then at Kinda Funny Vids.
Nice.
At Greg at Game Over Greggy and at No Taxation because that's Colin. So yeah. So anyways, so that'll do it for the first part of episode 36, PAX recap. We'll be back momentarily, but until we are back, we will catch you
on the flip.